Welcome, FinTech Talkers, to another edition of the FinTech Talk Show. I'm your host, Patty. My guest today is Ram Palaniappan, founder and CEO of Earnin, a company that allows workers to access their pay instantly. This is from his LinkedIn profile. Ram is a financial tech entrepreneur whose mission is to create products that empower employees to live financially healthy lives. As the founder and CEO of Earnin, he seeks to free people from the traditional payment cycle, giving them control of their money as they earn it. Truly a noble mission, and it's great to have him on the show to talk about his endeavors. Stay tuned to the show today if you want to learn more about the Earn Wage Access and how consumers can have access to robust financial planning tools like businesses have, and how founders like Ram have built these very useful fintechs that clients are logging in more than 5 million hours a week, and how he's raised around $200 million from prominent VCs like Andreessen Horowitz, Matrix Partners, Ribbit Capital, Felix Ventures, March Capital Partners, and DST. That is some lineup of investors. Welcome, Ram, to the FinTech Talk Show.
Fantastic to be here.
Great. So before we get into Earnin and why you have such a line of investors investing in what you're doing, how you build a successful company, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what led you to this journey? Feel free to talk about things you're passionate about outside of work as well.
Sure. I sort of got into payments and financial services, not really intentionally, maybe by mistake. Now, almost 20 years ago, I keep thinking that it's an industry that I should try to get out of. Maybe I've been here for too long, but it's also where I see a lot of problems. And when you see a lot of problems, I also like to solve problems. And so it's where I see problems, but I also see the opportunity to solve those problems. And so I think that's why I'm still here. And if you sort of step back and look at the way the financial system works in the US, it actually works quite well if you're well off. But it doesn't work well for you if you're not that well off. It's very expensive to be poor. And I think that creates all of these problems that really need to be solved. And I can talk to you about all like the macro consequences that you see of this, where like inequality is worse, whether it's income inequality is getting worse over time, wealth inequality is getting worse over time. And it doesn't have to be that way. Like it could be different. And if we don't want to accept the status quo, then we have to try to change it. And if we want more financial access, if we want more financial inclusion, then you need new financial products. You're not going to get it with the same old products. And so for someone who likes to try new things, come up with different types of solutions, I think it's actually a very ripe space to be in.
True. It is. And I like how you kind of phrased it. And financial inclusion has been a conversation that has been had in the fintech community for a long time. And I think it's never been solved. Even like big guys like PayPal keep talking about it. And folks like Walmart have gotten into it. But there is still a lot of opportunity. There's business opportunity. There's obviously the right thing to do or a good thing to do. I like how you put it. It's expensive to be poor. And yeah, banks and financial institutions have to make money. So I think it's harder to serve the under or not the well off, as you described. In terms of what Earnin does, so I know you're talking around that financial inclusion, but what exactly does Earnin do and why is that important?
Yeah. So what Earnin does is it gives people access to the pay that they have already earned, but have not yet received because of the way the pay cycle works. We've got this really antiquated pay cycle where you get paid on a very rigid pay cycle quite often every other Friday. But many people need their pay when their bills are due, which may not be on the Friday. And we help them get access to their pay when they need it instead of on this very arbitrary date that was decided by the payroll system. And if you sort of think of the scale of the problem, there's about $1 trillion of earnings that have been, of money that has been earned, but not yet paid out, that is sitting in the company's coffers. This is from a study by Ernst & Young on the 37 to 38 OECD countries. It's very expensive for consumers when they're short of money, because what do? They either get an overdraft fee, or they get a late fee on a bill. Two-thirds of the U.S. lives paycheck to paycheck, so it's a problem that a lot of people have. And their entire financial life sort of revolves around when payday is. And I would say, like, if you would look at the US, and we can go through this, there's many ways in which we've automated inequality and made things difficult for people who are living paycheck to paycheck. And the pay cycle is one of them. Like, every bill, almost every bill is monthly. And the most common pay cycle is you get paid every other week. What does that mean? That means six times a year, your bills are due before payday, and six times they're due after payday. And think of something like rent. Like, six times your rent is due after payday, six times is due before payday. So it's like somebody designed this to trip people up. And to me, workers should have access to their pay. I think that's really a worker's right. And they should have access to it when they need it. And if you can make that happen, then it's actually much better for the employees, because they don't have late fees and they don't have overdrafts and things like that. So the expenses are actually lower.
Yeah. And how's that different from a payday loan?
So first is, I think what we're doing is really accelerating payroll. Is like, we're making payroll run the way anything modern should run. Like, what else in your life runs on a 2-week cycle? I mean, imagine if Google said, give me all of your search queries and I'll give you the results every 2 weeks. You wouldn't use Google. But that is the kind of pay cycle that we're forcing people to live in. And so what earned wage access is giving people access money that they've already earned when they need it. If you were to sort of dig into the product, there's many things that make it not like any loan, not like a payday loan, but it's different from a loan completely. One is, it's money that the customer has already earned. Secondly, it is always available at no cost. And so we send the money across ACH. There's no cost for it. You don't get a loan that doesn't have a cost. And so there's always the option to use the product without any mandatory fees. There's no, it's what's called a non-recourse product. So there's no obligation to repay. There's no late fees. There's no interest. It doesn't negatively affect your credit score. And all of those are characteristics of a loan that don't sort of apply to earned wage access. And people quite often get confused about this. And I asked one of our customers, he works at LAX at the airport in customs. And I told him about it. I said, some people say this could be thought of as a loan. And what do you think? He had a really interesting reaction. He said can't think of anybody else he works with who would tell you that if they got paid for that day's work, that they would call that a loan. And then he went on to describe it as, like, this is a rich person's belief who doesn't have to worry about money, who says if you get your pay at the end of the day, then it's a loan. Like, he thinks there's, like, sort of a, it's people who don't understand someone who's working paycheck to paycheck. And the other way I talk about that too, in terms of how is it different from a loan, is I bank with First Republic. I quite often use a Wells Fargo ATM. And when I put my First Republic card into the Wells Fargo ATM, it gives me money. So Wells Fargo gives me money. I don't think that's a loan. I just think it's convenience that I can take my money out from Wells Fargo. And I would think of earned wage access the same way. It's actually a more convenient way to get your pay than from the legacy payroll system.
Yeah, no, I think you make a very good distinction. And fundamentally, we all assume that, yeah, payday has to be weekly, biweekly, or monthly, or what have you. But you're working every day, or whoever's working, the person at LAX, they're working and they're earning. So you are kind of creating that continuity in that. And that's very powerful. I mean, sometimes we're kind of biased, because I was also thinking, yeah, it has to be a loan because you get paid only like at the month end or the beginning of the month. No, fantastic. So I have a background in banking and commercial banking and all in my prior life. And cash management's a big kind of focus in commercial banking, especially. It's usually a service offered to corporates and mid-market, even some small businesses. I see some parallel in what you're doing for consumers, especially maybe the kind of not the top segment, but the middle and bottom segment consumers. Do you see it that way? Kind of, you're kind of giving the smarts around financial planning, cash management for consumers.
Yes, I think that's correct. Let me try to describe a few ways in which that happens. The first is sort of like when you're running a business, you actually get to see your revenue almost every day. And then you get your invoices, and that's sort of like a monthly pattern where you see your expenses at the end of the month, but you see your revenue every day. As a consumer, it actually works the opposite. You see your expenses every day in your bank account. as you swipe your debit card, you see your expenses, but you see your income only at the end of the pay period, right? So it works backwards for a consumer compared to a business. What we do is we let you see your income every day. And that actually leads you to make decisions very differently. So our customers have a median bank balance of $125. And when your bank balance is that low, the way you make all of your decisions is, how do you get to payday? And so sometimes it means not paying a bill, because if you pay the bill on payday, then you incur the late fee on the bill, but it's how you get to payday. And it's okay, because it's a way to get to payday is to incur the late fee. Sometimes it's to incur an overdraft fee, because you pay the overdraft fee only on payday. And so it's sort of, because your whole goal is to get to payday, you accept a late fee and bills are piled up on payday. You accept an overdraft fee. The median accrued but unpaid wages is $640. And so if somebody can see that and have access to it, then they pay their bills on time. They don't try to push it off to payday. On payday, the bills are not piled up. They paid it off on the due date and did not incur a late fee. They don't incur an overdraft fee because they can access their wages. And so they make better decisions. They're not just trying to make it to payday. They're actually trying to make better financial decisions. And you can see them actually being more efficient in their spend because of that. The other thing that I think sort of is a proof point to this is our app is opened over 20 times a month, because people want to see how much money they have in total, not just what's in their bank account. And it's sort of interesting, because the way I think of the bank account sometimes is like, let's say you were offered two different brokerage accounts. One brokerage account shows you the stock prices continuously, and one brokerage account will update the stock prices every 2 weeks. Which one would you use? You use the one that's updating continuously, because you know you're going to make bad decisions off the one that updates every 2 weeks. But your bank account is the same way. It updates every 2 weeks. And we've got the account that actually updates continuously. And so it's a better place for you to make decisions.
Yeah. No, but 20 times a day, that's
20 times a month.
Oh, a month. Sorry. And that's huge. Meaning, I think not only internet tech companies, they would want that kind of engagement, but in fintech, like the PFM vendors and even online banking, mobile banking, they all want their apps. So they're trying to figure out ways, but you are already offering some value or some that engagement that forces them to come back to the app. That's awesome. I mean, I'm sure there's, besides the value you're already offering, there are other ways to monetize that kind of attention, Rob, don't you think?
So I think what we can do, because we have that level of engagement, is sort of help people make better decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That can lead to some monetization. We very much see ourselves as like we work for the customer, and we need to add value for them, and then we should sort of get compensated based on the value that we add. And so I think what we try to do is do more things so that the customer's better off, and then make money that way. We don't do things like sell data.
Gotcha. And we've talked a little bit about, kind of in the context of a neobank, actually, of how that might morph into a lifestyle application, right? And a kind of a Chinese example comes to mind, the WeChat, right? Where you can chat with your friends, you can pay your friend for lunch, and you can call a cab or pay for the metro and so on and so forth. So you kind of live and breathe in that app, so to speak, or you can do everything. And with that level of engagement, yeah, you can help them with maybe the financial life part of it, but there would be other areas. Yeah, I think that's kind of what you're alluding to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just switching gears slightly, you recently partnered, and I saw this online when I was kind of reviewing your profile, with a nonprofit, actually, to help people get off of medical debt.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about it and why you're doing this, and what other high impact areas like this are you trying to launch projects in?
So I think we're a very mission-driven company. I think we see like our role is really to have an impact on society. And if you were to think about medical debt in particular, about half of the personal bankruptcies in the country are because of medical debt. And so it's a huge problem for the community. We're actually, I think, like as a business or someone who's got more scale than an individual, we're very well positioned to help with this. because we can go to a hospital and say, we'll buy your entire portfolio of medical debt. And it's very efficient for them to give it to us. And so there's sort of like, we're well positioned to do it. It's also like huge for the community, not just in terms of like getting rid of the debt, but there's also like a big financial stress, like an emotional component to having debt that is overdue that we can help sort of alleviate. And so what we did was we looked at where our customers are and did an overlay of that with which counties have the highest levels of medical debt. And then we went into three counties and we bought medical debt. So we bought a total of $22 million in medical debt for Bexar County in Texas, Maricopa County in Arizona, and Clark County in Nevada. Mm-hmm. So we bought $22 million of medical debt and we wrote it off.
Wow. So that's very compelling, because I'm sure this is not a problem in those just those three counties, right? So this could potentially scale across the country.
Yeah. And so it's nice to have that impact. But I think like the bigger place where we have an impact is actually with earned wage access, where because people can access their pay when they need it, they avoid a lot of late fees on bills. They avoid a lot of overdraft fees. For the last 3 years, each year, our customers have avoided over $1 billion in overdraft fees by accessing their pay when they need it. And the benefits are not just financial. I think there's also very emotional benefits as well. I was speaking with one of our customers. She works in healthcare in Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter has a passion for dance, and she needs to pay for the dance class at the beginning of the month. And she uses EarnIn for that. And if she didn't have access to EarnIn, she wouldn't have been able to pay for the dance class. And so it's really interesting that because of EarnIn, her daughter is able to pursue her passion for dance and take part in dance competitions. I've spoken with a lot of customers where they're celebrating birthdays or celebrating anniversaries for the first time on the actual date instead of pushing it off to payday. Spoken with customers who would have a toothache, but they would wait till Friday to go to the dentist because they didn't have enough money to pay for it. Now they can actually go when the tooth starts aching, and like just think of that quality of life improvement on that. So there's non-financial benefits. There's also a really interesting financial benefit that we're seeing, where we're seeing incomes go up when someone starts using our product. So there's a few different mechanisms by which this happens. One is if you can get paid at the end of the shift, there's like a higher motivation to go for the shift and to look for overtime, so people work more. Many of our customers cannot afford to lock up $50 or $100 in gas in their gas tank. And so they fill gas $10 at a time. But if something unexpected happens and they didn't have money to buy gas, they used to miss the day's work. Now with our app, they can sort of download the previous day's earnings and they can go into work, so they're working more hours. There's a few other really interesting things as well. So I spoke with a customer in retail, and if you work in retail, there's different roles that you have. So one role, you're tied to a particular retail store. In another role with the same company, you're actually tied to a department, but you cover two or three locations. So think of like a cosmetics department.
Mm-hmm.
And that role pays more than the role where you're tied to one particular store. And so one of our customers was offered to take the higher paying role, but she couldn't take it because she couldn't afford to front the gas money and then wait to get reimbursed.
Mm.
And the next time she got the offer, she took it because she started using EarnIn, and she knew that she could wait to get reimbursed. And so she was able to move to the higher paying job.
Yeah. No, I love the kind of the stories, the emotional content of your stories. And these are kind of real customers, right? So obviously, you're doing something great, which is really impactful for customers, and they're connected and they're using your product. And there's a lot of I want to talk about what's in the future. But before we kind of get there, how do you make money?
So we make money in two ways. And we sort of have two versions of the product. So the first version is you can get access to your pay over ACH. So these are the rails from the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fees for that. We let the users pay us a tip. And so that's a voluntary payment. They can choose what to pay. It can be zero if they want to. On about 49% of our transactions, we actually get a tip. And on 51, we do not. And the average tip is $1.47. The other thing that we do is if you want the money immediately within seconds, we have a service that we call Lightning Speed, but it's just like a wire from your bank. And we charge for that. And we charge between $1.99 and $3.99 for essentially a wire. And so we have two forms of revenue. And so that's how we make our money. There's no late fees. There's no penalties. Lots of things that people think of as being like loan type of monetizations are not, don't exist in our product.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. So we talked a lot, Ram. It's very engaging, a lot of users, a lot of good examples. So where do you go from here? You obviously are solving a problem really well and doing it well, but there are a lot of opportunities open for you. So what's the future for Earnin and you?
So we've begun to add more products as well. So besides earned wage access, which is what we started off with, we now help people set aside money. So some people use it like savings, some people use it as a way to budget for bills. In the app, it's called Tip Yourself. Earlier this year, we started letting people monitor their credit scores through the app. Interestingly, 1 in 10 consumers don't know what the credit score is. And so we surface that as well so they can keep track of how they're doing on the credit score. And I think like as we evolve, we'll try to do more and more to help our consumers get to a better place financially and to have financial momentum.
Gotcha. And this whole kind of the continuity and discreteness of pay, right? So you're earning and that's your main product, but kind of introducing that in a more kind of global or scalable way, right? That itself can open other doors, I'm thinking, right? Kind of taking off the kind of what we talked briefly before we started, the batch notion of pay that has to be in a cycle to kind of this more continuous thing, right? So that has potentially other opportunities.
That is correct. I mean, so pay today is largely batch. What we have with earned wage access, we've taken what's a batch job and made it into an on-demand job. But the logical endpoint for anything that is batch is continuous. And so that's quite likely where it'll get to. And if you think of it from a consumer point of view, like if you've been working today, you've earned some money. When you open your bank account, why is it not there? It's because your employer knows that you've worked. Your bank doesn't know that you've worked. But as a technologist, it's actually really simple to send data from one system to another. And so I think that's where we'll get to eventually.
Yeah. And like businesses track that in PM, we talked about the cash management, right? So you have your AP, AR, and you can run kind of project and manage your cash flow well, right? To some extent, and we talked about this earlier, you're kind of introducing that concept for people who are working because it is an AR. It doesn't have to be the month end or the biweekly end. And once you have your AR, even if it's not cash, but an app like Earnin can make it available just in case you want to buy or spend. And I like the concept of savings. You know, BNPL or Buy Now, Pay Later has made a lot of buzz, and there are a lot of kind of things around it in the last maybe few years. But the kind of the inverse of it, right? Save now and then buy later or pay later. which seems prudent. Looks like you're kind of attacking that as well, right? And that might be relevant for the segment you serve.
Yeah. You brought up an interesting concept with the accounts receivable piece. Because if you think of money, money is basically an IOU from the government. And it's like an accounts receivable. And payroll is in some way similar. It's a receivable from your employer, but it's got a lot of protections as well. And once it leaves the employer, it sort of takes 2 days in transit, but it's a receivable from the Federal Reserve. So sort of it's just how the IOU is moving from one person to another.
Yeah. No, and you are fundamentally changing the friction there or the delays there, right? And I had somebody else on the show. They're kind of more in the stock trading part and the T+2 settlement time, right? And he's kind of was attacking that problem. And that not one person can attack it. It's an industry-wide problem. But I fundamentally see you how you are kind of removing that friction and delay, and that opens up, right? It's more cash on hand. and that, oh, that, and going back to monetization and business, that can create, right? You're creating more liquidity, so that can create more opportunities as well. So no, that this is great. And you talked about Fed and all. I did see that you were part of a congressional testimony on kind of this industry, and you were part of a panel giving testimony to Congress. I think it was the Senate, or maybe it was the House. I don't remember. But tell us, how did it feel? Was that the first time you gave testimony in Congress?
It was the first time and the only time I've given testimony in Congress so far. I think it was quite an honor because I felt like I was speaking on behalf of about 2 million of our customers. You can see that they've all like sort of voted by their actions by saying that there's a better way to receive their pay. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I was speaking on their behalf. So being able to get them to sort of amplify their voice.
Gotcha. No, that's great. Yeah, I've not had the honor, but I'm sure it was a great experience and something to remember. It is 2023. It's all be kind of the end. We'd be remiss if we don't talk about AI and Gen AI a little bit. So how I see it, and you tell me if my kind of I'm thinking about this right, there's this whole movement around co-pilots, right? Whether it's for developers, programmers, designers, and so on and so forth. It's almost for kind of the knowledge worker industry, if you will, right? There, wherever there's knowledge, there's going to be a co-pilot. Eventually, they might be full replacement, but maybe over time. In the space, we're talking about kind of financial advice or financial management, financial literacy. I could envision an app like Earnin bundle with some AI kind of providing that capability, almost like a co-pilot for your financial life, helping you with budgeting, forecasting, planning, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Do you see it that way, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think there is a role for it. I think if you think of many of your financial decisions, you're making decisions based on some amount of data. There's an exceedingly large amount of data available. AI is well equipped to sort of ingest all of that data. And it can also make better decisions because it can handle much more data at the same time. It can do things like scenario planning, which is complex for us to do as humans without some kind of assistance. So I think there is a role for AI. I think the way it will start out initially is much more as a way to assist the humans, mm-hmm. rather than take actions on behalf. Because you don't know if you've actually got all the right data points. And you can make a suggestion to the human, and then I think it's for the human to decide what to do. It's also the AI may not have a complete understanding of an individual's risk tolerances. And so I think it's probably better in the beginning to assist humans make decisions and maybe open up decisions that were not thought about. And so I think like that's probably the first implementation is to assist people.
Gotcha. And the other thing that at least I try my podcast tracks about is blockchain and crypto and CBDCs and the whole kind of the aspect around the programmability of money. And mm-hmm. I sort of see some connections in how you're changing the discrete payroll, kind of solving that friction around the Federal Reserve and the employer and kind of all the cash movement and kind of almost digitizing it. And then it potentially could go to the next level where you kind of set up rules, right? Maybe with AI or without AI. So do you see that we might get there eventually with kind of programmability of the money, not just kind of the continuity of the flow?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting if you think of money, and money is mostly digital today already. Like think of how much of your paycheck you spend in cash and how much of it you spend through bank transfers or on your card. And so while money is mostly digital, it's actually slower to move and more expensive than physical money. If I give you $10, you got the $10 immediately and you got the full $10. But if you charge my card for $10, you pay 2 or 3% interchange and you get the money in 2 days. And so money is this very unique digital thing where the digital version is slower to move and more expensive to move than the physical version. And it's because we've had digital money for so long where we didn't realize what all the digital money could do. Like digital money should be able to move continuously. It should be intelligent. It should be programmable. And I think we're trying to make it much more continuous. We're making it move faster like a digital money should. And then I think as you build on that, you can actually make it be programmable. It could be very simple rules, but I think you can actually get to where money feels much more like what we expect from something digital versus what we're used to, where it's worse than what is physical.
Yeah. No, that's fascinating, Ram. Meaning this would be and all encapsulated in an app like Earnin, where you could kind of set up these rules and or somebody else could. That's really powerful. Meaning, I think that the opportunities are immense, real opportunities like the friction that you're already solving for. There might be other things that you could do with that programmability. No, that's awesome. We talked a little bit about the future already, but in closing, what else would you like to kind of add to what we've been talking about, especially in terms of 2024 focus? I have a kind of a diverse audience. Who are you trying to connect with, kind of other startup founders of fintech or AI or kind of potential customers and things? And I have a lot of bank listeners as well. So anyone you particularly are trying to connect, or what would you like to add in closing?
I think the one thing I'll add, because we were just talking about how about what is likely to happen in the future, and we think people getting paid more often when they want it is how the future will be, that people shouldn't have to get paid every 2 weeks. But it's interesting in that that's how it used to work previously. Prior to the Industrial Revolution, everybody was paid every day. That's when it moved into a batch job. So while we're talking about how we think it's going to be in the future, it's also how it used to be in the past, which is a much more, I would say, balanced way for workers to get paid right after they worked. Is how it used to be, and I think it's better for workers, and hopefully we'll get there in the future.
Yeah, well, the Fed's released the real-time payments, obviously for a different purpose, but why not introduce real-time wage access? And that's what you are doing, Ram, in some ways, and definitely we'll track what you're doing. How should people get in touch with you? Are you active on social media, X, LinkedIn, or do you want to leave any website information? How can people find more about you or your company?
So both of those are good. On Twitter, I'm on that. The company has a handle, Earnin. My handle is Ram180. And I'm also on LinkedIn, and the company's also on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, Ram, for being on the FinTech Talk Show. Looking forward to all your success stories in the future.
Thank you. Really enjoy the conversation.